Let's call to order the Sylvania City Council Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting for Thursday, October 25th, 2012. It's 4:30, and present are committee members Lukey, Brown, Capellini, and Hussman, along with Mayor Stow, Mr. Tansey, and Mr. Sanford from the administration, and Kelly from the Blade. We have two and possibly three issues to talk about today, depending on time, because we're committed to getting out of here by about 4:45. No, about quarter after 5.
All right, well then we'll be...
What is it?
I have to be there at 5:30.
Okay, quarter after 5.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown. And so these, I think, are fairly straightforward matters, but we'll see. The first is a proposal that came forward at the last city council meeting after we had sat through over two meetings, I think four separate requests for city council to endorse tax levies. One from our Sage Art group, and then the library, the Metro Parks, and Imagination Station. Thank you. I think some of the discussion around that was the fact that, first of all, is that appropriate for council to do? I think we've always had these things come at us a little bit in ones or twos, but not so much in the volume that we've had before. And then secondly, if we do decide that this is appropriate for us to continue to endorse levies, should we perhaps have some sort of a process in place so that folks are just not walking in willy-nilly, but perhaps have given some pre-information ahead of time to us so that we could review each matter and make some sort of a more reasoned decision than we've had a chance to do in the past. So that's the first issue. I guess for the first point is the discussion about whether we should continue to endorse. And I have from Margie, she was very diligent about asking the Municipal Clerks Association about whether other communities did or didn't do that. And the only one that she heard back from was Dublin, the city of Dublin. They do not endorse levies. But that's just a one point in a fairly, you know, it's a very small sample.
Well,
so Mike, go ahead.
I thought about it, and I think if it's a Lucas County issue, we're part of Lucas County, that they should have the right to come in here and ask for our endorsement. But I also feel that I don't want to be hit cold turkey.
Right.
They need to send in a formal request letter. You need to send in financials. And, you know, what the levy's going to do and how long it's going to carry them, you know.
Right.
What the money's going to be used for. You know, all those questions you ask when you're a voter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, we need some kind of a formal way of doing it, because I was pleased with the Imagination Station when they had their statement right in their packet, and I was able to look at it quickly and look at a couple of things, but I think we need all that information prior to them walking in and giving their little talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair to the community not to give these levy people a chance, you know, to ask for our endorsement. It's even more important if it's a Sylvania issue, you know.
Yeah. Okay, good good comments. Any other thoughts? Okay, Katie, Sandy?
You go ahead, you're here first.
So, I mean, it's not only for the endorsement, I think it's nice for them to be able to come in. It's a public meeting, and it's a place for them to inform us and anybody else that might be sitting in the audience.
Or listening
to the tape later. So I think it's a great way for them to get their information out. I agree with Mike that it would be great if they could have some kind of information that they send first with all the questions, because it's hard to listen to them and then read through their stack of paper at the same time, and then you miss something. So, and I also think it's appropriate for us to support agencies or entities that affect quality of life in Sylvania. I mean, I think it's our job to support quality of life issues in our community, and if these, you know, Sageyard, Imagination Station, the Metro Parks, those are all quality of life issues that make Sylvania a better place, and so I think it is our job to support people that are supporting our community.
Sandy?
Well, it's, and once again, it's an economic thing too, you know, for all of these things affect how people look at our community, so I think we do have an obligation to listen. I think having, you know, some process that we're going through is, you know, how we're going to handle it so we handle them all the same and don't hear about it later if we don't. Probably getting the information, the meeting before, at least, that will give us at least 2 weeks, or we could say a month before, I don't, you know, that these people have known this, you know, they don't, it's not like all of a sudden they go, oh, let's put a levy on. I mean, that's, they've known this for a while, maybe they,
maybe as long as it gets into our packet.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's quick, but that's okay, you know. But definitely, I think somebody has to come that knows what they're talking about to talk to us about it and answer the questions that we do have, not just kind of send in, I think one of them sent us something, Metro Parks, I think it was, just sent us information the meeting before and asked us to endorse. I think they need to come in and talk.
Yeah, that's the one we tabled.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'm going to ask the mayor about this because he's got a sense of history about it that I think all of us don't. You've been here, Mr. Mayor, both as mayor and council member for 20-some years. And so is there any kind of additional perspective you could add to this?
Sylvania Council, as far as I know, has always chosen to have the right to endorse or not to endorse levies. I think it would be short-sighted on your part to set up a rule that either says you can't or require that you do. You should be able to do this piecemeal and not be restricted by your own rules. And certainly if the agency doesn't ask, you should still have the right to decide whether you want to endorse or not endorse. They may know that you won't endorse and you may want to come out against it. For instance, we had an issue with the fire department a number of years ago that it was a levy that was pretty expensive and council wanted to talk about it. So I would recommend that you have rules that allow you to respond in a way that you want to respond, not to hamstring yourself to do what somebody else decides you have to do. If that's wisdom, that's what I'm giving you right now.
Oh, that's a good point, I think. Very good point.
You know, I agree with all of you, just for my 2 cents worth. I think maybe it would be helpful to say that we entertain requests for support if it was submitted by, you know, October 10th or 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the election, maybe 30 days before the election, just so folks have a date to get it in. I don't know how you feel about that. In addition, I like Mike's ideas about sending a formal request and sending financials. I would also like, and I guess I particularly like the way the library did it, to have how it impacts Sylvania, the city of Sylvania. They were able to identify the number of people who were there.
Manager come over and talk.
Exactly. And I guess I like the fact that it was somebody from Sylvania, you know, who works here. And I don't know if we can ask that. That seemed a little extreme, but I liked it. But I think the impact on Sylvania, the number of people that are served or what have you, I think would be helpful to know. And then we would have it in our packet. We could review it ahead of time and make a judgment. I agree with the mayor. I don't think that it's appropriate to reject out of hand the fact that we wouldn't do it. In fact, you know, a couple of times in my 8 years on council, or 9 years, people have actually come up to me and mentioned the council has endorsed something, and they said, I've been trying to figure out whether I want to support this or not, and the fact that council endorsed it was helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So I believe we do have a role of that nature to fill. So the devil's in the details, I think. I would be more than happy to try to draft the sentiment here. I mean, I think the mayor makes a good point. The council should always reserve the right to have, to initiate discussion about a levy. But then we maybe would also consider requests for support from the taxing entity if it's provided to us at least 30 days before an election, something like that. And I could circulate that in time for the meeting next time, and we could have some discussion at council if you wanted to.
Yeah, I have a question. How to differentiate between issues that affect quality of life in Sylvania over issues that are, like amendments to the Constitution or something. I think I don't feel comfortable with that.
I would limit it just to the tax. Tax levies, people more
just,
than anything.
Right, okay.
I disagree, Mark.
Really?
I think you should have the freedom to speak about any levy or voter issue you want. What if the state of Ohio decided to outlaw municipalities? You might want to make a comment about
they
that.
They could do that.
Yes. Kind of going down that road.
Yeah. Keep the freedom to respond to whatever you want to do. The community elects city council to provide leadership for the community and help tell them what's good for Sylvania. You need to keep the option off to do that, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good point.
Sounds like the less we say, the better.
In this, yeah.
In the process.
Yeah.
Because there's always something that, like the mayor mentioned, that is going to come up. And
Mayor, do you know offhand what the process would be to adopt something like this? I mean, it's fundamentally a council rule, I guess. Does that require legislation?
I wouldn't think so.
Just a vote, maybe a motion?
What did you do with your...
The street
sign. Process to nominate to the Board of Zoning Appeals or SAGR. How did you establish those rules?
I honestly don't remember. I just think that and the street sign piece, or the, naming a street, remember that? I think it was just a motion.
I don't think you want to make this an ordinance.
No.
But you might want to have a written record of it so that when all... remembrance is gone, and then go back to it and say, here's what they did then.
Right. I think we can do that. We can set that up for our next meeting. Let's at least, though, make a recommendation at the committee level to take this to council, to take a recommendation that we, A, do consider all ballot issues, and B, have a policy to deal with ones that want to be heard. We need a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Husband.
Second.
Second. Mr. Brown, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. So we'll make that recommendation on our next meeting. The second piece is it might on the surface of it sound like an answer to a question that hasn't been asked, but I think it has been asked. All of us got letters from Mr. Hainem a while back suggesting that we consider televising council meetings from the standpoint not so much of being on broadcast television or cable, but I believe having some sort of a system that would create a live visual feed of our meetings and post it online. Folks presumably could go to a website or somewhere to take a look at that. There's two questions to that as well. One is whether it's a good idea, and secondly, whether technology is available to support it.
I think there's a third.
Yes.
We're all worrying about budgets. How much is it going to cost?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, and that would concern me the most. I mean, we are dealing with a very tight budget right now. And
our new finance director has estimated our total city revenues will be down $650,000 from what they are this year due to loss of the inheritance tax, lower property taxes, and the second stage loss to local government funds.
That's in 2013.
Yep. He's in the budgeting process now, and we're going to be starting the process $650,000 behind where we were last year.
Okay. that's a good context for a discussion. And in light and in anticipation of your question, Mike, we asked Mike Tansey to put together some input, some parameters for what it would cost and what the technology exists to do in this regard. And Mike, I guess rather than trying to recap this, could you kind of walk us through it?
Certainly. There exists a wide range of ways to get your information out on the internet. One from the recorded council meetings that we put on the internet now. We can do a live feed of that as well. That's not all that expensive.
And that's just audio, right?
Yeah, just the audio. We're looking at software for about $300 and $30 a month for bandwidth. We would send our signal up to a server, and then everybody would connect to that. It would save us having to buy a huge pipe for people to connect to. From there, as you get into video, what you run into is how it's going to look for the people watching. I talked to some cities that started with video a long time ago. What they wanted to do was save money. So they got the local high school to come in and do the video production. They had cameras pointed at everybody, and then they would send it over to the local TV channel or up to the internet. That lasted about a year till the local high school got bored. Then, because they couldn't afford anything, they put a camera way in the back room that would take the whole room up. And that was boring. I can show you examples if you'd like. But all you see is little tiny heads, and you can't tell who's talking. You can hear the audio. Then, to be able to pick up the who was actually talking, they've gone into different ways of doing it. Actually, show one city council meeting.
This is where?
This is Elgin, Illinois. And they're using what most people have finally gravitated to. One thing that the city council and this uses multiple cameras that, in this case, are controlled by one person sitting behind a control panel. And they turn cameras on, turn cameras off, and they can pan, zoom. This is one mounted in the back.
This is live. They're doing it this quickly. This is live. I mean,
this is live. Well, I mean, this is a recording, but they do this live.
And this is like switching a television.
Yeah, you have a director sitting back there, a producer, whatever you want, and they actually have a touch screen, and they pick which camera they want to show, and they can pan, zoom. It would take it takes a certain amount of expertise, and you have to have somebody at every meeting.
Somebody you have to pay.
A new way that's evolved because of the technical problems of having somebody here is one called JAMS, and Lucas County uses it. What they do is they take a series of cameras, say, one camera would point at those three chairs. Another would point at these three. One would, from behind, point at the podium. Another one point at those four chairs. You got four cameras. And then, depending on who's talking, it automatically switches to that camera view. So you only have one feed going up, and you don't have to have anybody do anything but turn it on and basically connect it to the internet. So it's much less work for somebody having to produce this show live. Lucas County is doing it in some of their courtrooms, and I believe the city of Maumee does it in one of their courtrooms for their recording.
But not for their meetings.
But not for their meetings. Not that I found for the meetings.
And that's this $33,000.
That's the $33,000.
Mike, I got another question, just not, I don't want to forget it, but can you tell us how many hits we get on our present system from our citizens?
I wish I could. That's one thing I had planned to do.
Is that available?
I don't even know if it's available. It's buried pretty far in.
If you can.
I'll send it to you.
I mean, if we got 10 people out there that.
Part of it is I can't tell exactly how many people hit it. All I can tell is where people go last. So if they go to the council page last, I know at least they're interested in that.
We probably don't need to see any more.
Yeah. But this is what I wanted to show you, that as they pan out, If you don't do this, where you have multiple cameras, don't do the one in the back of the room. I think you're throwing money away there.
Because it might as well be an audio if you can only see it.
It might as well be an audio if all you see is a zoomed way out.
I think Waterville does that, don't they?
Which one?
I've heard they do.
Waterville City Council, you can see that on, you used to be able to see them on the Buckeye Cable Vision one. It was just one camera. It's hard to see what's going on, but it's on Buckeye Access.
Yeah, Bedford Township does the same thing, one camera way in the back of the room.
Has anybody ever asked any of you or told you we should do this? Has brought it up to you?
The only thing I heard was during the water tower debate, some people have said that they thought things were done in secret. But all of our meetings are recorded, so that was kind of hard to listen to, but.
They also said it would block out the sun.
They also said they don't want the new condominium development because water pressures are so low out in that area.
Same man said that.
Well, okay.
So moving on.
I have had people talk about the fact that being able to get audio of the meetings is helpful.
Yeah, about 5-6 times a year, I will refer people to that who have questions on a particular issue, and that seems to take care of it. They really like that option, do use it, but it's not a lot of people.
I'm not opposed to this, but I don't think it's the right time, and I don't think we have the financial ability to put in an appropriate system. I think, you know, we have the audio part of it now that I would like to know how many people even come in and look at the audio. I mean, sometimes our meetings are pretty boring to spend this kind of money for once or twice a year when people are going to tune in and see what's happening. I just can't see it right now. I would personally vote against if this were to come up.
Is that a financial issue or a philosophical issue?
Pardon?
Is that a financial issue?
It's a financial issue with me right now. My philosophy is, yeah, let's have an open meeting, and, you know, if we could do this for $500, I'd say, yeah, go for it.
Well, how do you feel about making the audio feed live? I mean, I guess there's a question about how much it would get used, but the cost is fairly negligible.
I would like to know before we spend any extra funds, what kind of usage we have of the system.
So that, you know, I'll get as much information from the analytics.
To make dramatic changes for 10 or 15 hits, I just can't see it. Not right now.
Well, I don't think we're in, after what the mayor said, I don't think we're in any position to spend any frivolous money, and I think this is probably frivolous. We do make it available, so folks can't really say they don't know what's going on. They may not know it. I assume we get it on within 48 hours, or?
It's usually up the next morning.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a hot council meeting, we've had it on that evening.
Yeah, yeah. So we're pretty darn close to making this happen. I mean, it's not live, but I think we're fine the way we are for now until we have better funding.
Katie?
I think I'm on the same path. I think it's a great idea. I would love to do it, but if we're going to do it, we have to do it right. We can't make it look crappy. It's got to look good. And for it to look good, we don't have enough money to make it look good. And with our, if we have a $650,000 shortfall or more coming up, it seems irresponsible.
I'll make one other comment, and it's just my own personal comment. Something like this has a tendency to create drama kings and queens. and...
Our meetings will get longer.
Yeah, we already have one, so let's...
I've talked to a couple of municipalities, and they said it has the opposite effect, too. They don't want to talk.
Oh, that's a good point.
They're going to be on TV and get nervous.
Human nature being what it is.
I think we're good.
You know, I have a little philosophical different idea. I think transparency is always good.
Sure.
And the more you can demonstrate that we are open in our decision-making, the better. I would absolutely wait until we hear from Mike about how much our audio recordings are used. But I would be, I guess I'm more inclined than the rest of you to think that maybe making the audio piece live, which is costing us, you know, $300 upfront and $400 a year, might be...
That's, I have no problem.
An easy step in a more transparent way of operating.
Right.
I think we can all go along with that.
I think that would be money well spent.
Originally, we didn't really go after all the deep pages and what links people clicked on. So if there's not enough information, I'll see if I can get that going forward. There's no hurry to do this. Maybe we can pull some information over the next couple of months and start to see who's going now.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. Not make a recommendation to council just now. Wait for Mike to either get information that might be available or gather it, but with the notion that maybe best case we would start doing the audio stream live at some point. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Mike, we have 20 minutes. I'm wondering if we could ask Mike Tanzi to introduce a third item on the agenda.
That's fine.
This was not on the agenda, but are you prepared to talk a little bit about the website RFP that we've been circulating around?
Due to the, I talked with Hart Associates, and they told me that the website that we have now is not really mobile compatible.
Yeah, let me just say, this is going back to the discussion I think we have had here about the fact that even though we have a very, very, very good city website, it's not really, it doesn't work terribly well on mobile devices.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we asked Mike to think of some ways to address that issue, and that's what this is about.
And really the only way to address that, well, there's two. You can make a sister site that will be mobile, but you run into having to double enter all of your data. So if the meeting goes in one, you have to put it in another. People get short on time, especially as their workload increases, as people retire. Which one do we do first? You know, so you end up, which one? One website that is friendly to not only the desktop but the mobile, especially Apple, because that's now the largest hit on our website, is all the Apple devices. So the best way to do this is to issue an RFP to redesign our site, take our existing data, put up a new design for the site. And don't have any prices because it's been 5 years since we've done it. There's a lot more players, and there's a lot more software out there to help them do that without having to write their own like Hart had to for a content management system. So I wrote the RFP, took information from our last one, and talked to other people who have issued RFPs and what they were looking for. And this is my idea of what we should issue to get some cost estimates of what's the same like cost to redesign.
The life of our current site is coming to an end.
It still works. It works.
I know it works, but I mean, just, with all the new technology and new systems out there and everything else, do you feel that we're going to have more and more problems with it because of the new technology and what its capabilities are today, that we're going to have to eventually do this whether we want to or not?
I think that people are pointing us that way. For instance, the Chamber of Commerce has come up with their new app. If we get involved in that, the first thing is say, oh, let's go to the City Surveying and see what they're doing. They click on the app, which is made for, you know, the mobile devices, and they go to a site that's not mobile friendly. They're going, eh, and they'll go someplace else. They can't read it. They're not going to sit there and try to navigate our site on an iPhone. They won't do it. And so we'll drop that. So it's how much council wants that traffic. the question, how much that traffic costs us.
Mike, I would say, excuse me, that if you look at other city websites, ours is still very, 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 very good. It's very comprehensive, has a lot of good information on it. So the real question does become this mobile app piece. I'm pleased to see that Mike included in his RFP a pre-bid conference. And I will tell you that when we went through the process to pick a vendor to do this website, probably one of the most informative elements of the process was this pre-bid conference where we had all the folks that were interested. Katie, you were there. Mm-hmm. I think come into a meeting and we spent a couple hours. And by virtue of them asking questions about what we really wanted, I think they shed an awful lot of light on how we end up going. Would you say, Mike?
Yeah.
So if part of this process is to sort of understand what options are out there and almost what kind of questions we should be asking, pre-bid conference kind of gets us that way, even if we do nothing in terms of what it comes through.
And it's also fair to the vendor, as they come into a pre-bid conference, they don't have any big expenditures at this point. And just to find out that what we're asking is not what they want to do, or we have no idea what it's going to cost, and once we get an idea, like, ooh, time out, we don't want to do that. So they don't have to actually answer an RFP, spend a lot of time and money to find out that it's way over our price range. I think it's fair to everybody. We get a lot more information.
Well, I'm in favor of something like, you know, improving our website because it is an economic driver in the community. And, you know, I would like to see what it would cost.
I agree.
And again, I think the whole point here is that we're not committing to doing this.
Right.
We're simply committing to identify what the cost would be. Mm-hmm. But so we can make a major risk.
Sure.
Right. Mayor, do you have any thoughts about that?
I think that's appropriate to Mike, you talked about Apple devices. You mean most of the visits to our city website are from mobile Apple devices?
Most of our mobile visits are from Apple devices.
Okay, what about?
We still have far more desktops than Apple's, okay. than the mobiles.
All right, I misunderstood. Yeah. I agree with you. I would think that would be the case.
And Apple just announced another mini iPad
over the past week.
Yes. That's where it's going. My wife and I, we go out on a Sunday and decide where we're going to go sometimes over breakfast at a restaurant with an iPhone. It's like, where are we going today?
I don't know how you could travel without it.
No, true. Well, look, do we want to make a recommendation to council that we issue the RFP and do a little bit of conversation about why?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Okay, and we may have a motion and a second on that.
So moved.
Second.
Katie and Sandy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We'll make that recommendation then. Anything else today? I want our Blade reporter to recognize that this committee gives her more content in a half an hour than anything else that goes on. We're making it happen here. Okay, Bill, anything from you? Any updates?
No.
Okay. Great, Mayor?
I do. The Element 112 restaurant is having a ribbon cutting. Is it next Thursday?
Thursday.
Yes, first, yeah.
Will there be food involved?
I doesn't say that I would think
I would. They asked for an RSVP. So
there is a open house between now and I think 9 p.m. at Sylvania Orthodontics.
Right. Okay, good. If there's nothing else, then we'll adjourn at 5:02. And Mike, thank you so much for
staying. Yes, thank you.